Well, we're doing part three tonight.
All right.
If you haven't listened to the other ones or we're here, you may want to check those out, part one and part two. And I'll just say this, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes we, and I am obviously graduated from Rhema, Hayden and I went there, we were DeMotta, and, you know, other Bible school we went to, but, you know, I am absolutely pro-word of faith. I just think that sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding with it. And there's a lot of, you know, and I have those people that are antagonizing. I used to go to work for Faith Library Publications, and that's Rhema's publication department that we, you know, sell books, and Adrian's in the communications department there. So I did the sales, and she helped out on the, worked in the area where they made the books and edited and everything. But, you know, I'd be out on book shows and things like that. People just antagonize you, antagonize me about the whole word of faith thing. And there's so much misunderstanding about the word of faith. And, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote there, I believe it was in Acts, can't remember the exact place, but he said that we are to, yeah, it was in Acts, preach the word of faith. And so the word of faith is just simply the word works for itself. And but sometimes we have to work with the word. Does that make sense? Some people are just, I'm just going to spout something off and everything's going to happen. Well, that's not true. That is not true at all. And last 2 weeks we've been talking about that. Tonight I'm going to go deeper tonight. But we're going to revisit James chapter 4, verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. And I believe people get frustrated because they think, well, Pastor, I'm believing for things. Things aren't happening. You know, why is this not happening? Why is this? Just because you say something, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. I know that's hard to believe, right? There's two things. And while you're turning there, Mark 11, 22 through 26 says, those whatsoever things you believe when you say them, right? When you say, when you believe. So there's a believing part and there's a speaking part. And doing the word is not just, well, I'm just saying the word, but it's engaging it with several other things involved, right? James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what is causing the quarreling and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? I may even know they're just things sometimes in you that you're just struggle with, right? Paul said there in 1 Corinthians, he says, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do, but sometimes I do the things I don't want to do, and I'm struggling with those things, right? If Apostle Paul was probably one of the most theological, you know, the greatest one, I would probably argue one of the greatest theological mind ever, and he was the biggest blessing to the church in his writings, and he said, you know what, I'm trying to do the best I can here. Sometimes things just don't work out, right? Just because you get born again, it doesn't mean everything, all your problems just float away. I'm just going to confess my way out of this. Well, you can, and I completely believe in Kenneth Copeland and Oral Roberts and Brother Hagin, and they're fantastic. Fantastic. And they teach Scripture, and I love their teaching. And then it goes on, verse 2, and it says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war and take it away from them, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. See, some people are, they want to do things, but they want to do it their own way. Let's skip down to James chapter 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. So we do things in the flesh often. And we should just be right there close. James chapter 5, verse 13. Now, before we read this, I said before, Adrian and I, we used to work for a call center when we got there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we'd people call in for prayer, and we'd have to read these prayers. And half the time, it's just so cringy because some of them are so unbiblical. You know, it's like, this is horrible. This is painful. It's like taking your fingernails on a chalkboard. It was just awful reading some of those prayers. But it says, verse 13, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now we do that here. Such a prayer offered in faith will what? Heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed sin, you will be forgiven. I want to stop here for a moment, because too many times in the Bible, everybody wants you to pray for them. I mean, in the body of Christ, right? Everybody wants you to pray for them. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. You know, sometimes that, I don't even know, you've got kids, and I would not write my kids out a big check. I have a friend of mine that I used to work with, and he was adopted, and then later he inherited quite a sum of money from his father. And he was really young, just 18 years old. Again, we got probably some really mature folks in here. But, you know, he began to, he got this large inheritance, and within a year he blew it all. No idea what to do with it. Ended up filing bankruptcy. All of these problems, because why? Because he had something he couldn't handle. He didn't have the understanding and the wisdom to be able to handle it. Rather than, let's invest some of it, let's save some of it. Yeah, maybe if you need a new car, you need these things, or pay some bills off, let's do these things, but let's manage it. Let's have these things. You know, and obviously God does answer prayer. We're not saying that God doesn't answer prayer, but sometimes we need to fix some other things so we can handle what God has for us, right? And this scripture is really talking about, you know what? I'm definitely going to answer prayer and everything, but sometimes we need to correct some things in our lives in order to move forward. And what is he saying here? If there's sin in your life, we need to correct things. Too many people are saying, I'm praying. I've had all these people pray. You know, Brother Hagin had a guy one time that had some physical issues, and he had Smith Wigglesworth pray for him. Have you ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He's a, you know, faith. He's raised all these people from the dead, and he had a deformed baby one time. I remember reading it was a deformed baby and was dying, and he was on stage and drop kicked it, and it landed in the mother's arms and was completely healed. Now you better know from God on that one, right? Okay, I'm gonna be like, Jesus, you need to be standing in front of me. I need like 12 confirmations for that deal, right? Because if you I understand there's mistakes in life, right? Like, oops, I spilled some Kool-Aid on the carpet. Okay, that's a mistake, but drop kicking a baby, that's kind of a big one, okay? May want to double check that one. But he did things like that all the time, but he walked with God. He was close, right? And this gentleman got everybody praying for him, Miss Smith Wigglesworth, and I mean, all these people had prayed for him, and Brother Hagin had talked to him. And one thing in this scripture, he was talking about praise, and it talks about this in praise, and it says it in Romans 2, not 2, but I believe it's in Romans 8, that any among you, I mean, you know, if you have a song, sing in the natural, sing in the spirit realm. Well, he had all these people praying for him, but one of the things that the Lord was speaking to him about was praising him. See, sometimes, here's something with me too. If you got a car and it doesn't start, I'm not just going to take the ignition and keep doing it 100 times, right? I do it about 2 or 3 times, and I said, like, you know, something's wrong here, right? I mean, I'm out of gas. The starter isn't working. There's something going on. The battery's dead. I mean, something's going on. But in the body of Christ, for some reason, we keep cranking that, turning that ignition over and over and over again. We think we're going to get different results. I've said this before too. The interesting thing was with and I said a few weeks ago, one of the things with the Methodist Church, the beginnings of that, was they would sit around once a week and confess sins one to another. I'm sure we'd have a big group for that one, right? That's going to be a popular one. But it's in the Bible. And the thing of it is, you know, sometimes church, we get into these little cultural things, right? We got to have this, and we got a little cup of coffee, and we're here, and we're doing this, and we don't ever want to confront anything. But I believe that people are dealing with things that God is saying, okay, we need to make some shifts. And what we're talking about tonight is working the Word, right? Taking the Word of God as its full counsel. It's real easy as Christians to sit back and go, well, just pray for me, just pray for me, just pray for me, when sometimes there's other things involved. And we're going to get more into those tonight. But verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that what? You may be healed. I'm going to stop right here. And I know, people think that I don't need church, I don't need people, I don't need believers. The Bible and the church was never designed for you to be alone. And I'll just say this, there are things that people around you, whether it's myself or people in this church or whatever, that God is going to use to unlock some things in you. God has used other people to unlock things in me. This is a key scripture here. Again, I want to read it again. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that what? You may be healed. Sometimes we just need to repent. We need to go to each other. And I know this is a very unpopular thing because sometimes we don't want to talk about our mistakes. Right? Oh, I've talked about plenty of my mistakes, right? We were just today, one of the girls and I won't say who it was, but we were just talking about things and like, Dad, tell me all the bad things you've done. I'm like, we're not going to go there. Right? Tell me all the bad stuff you've done. Well, first of all, it's all under the blood, right? But I've done a lot of dumb things when I was younger, a lot of really silly, dumb things. But if you've repented, move on. Move on. But there's something very vital here, and I believe that many Christians are. They're doing the Lone Ranger thing. You know, I know a lot of people that I don't need this stuff, and I've got it all taken care of and everything else too. And that's often the missing part, one of the missing pieces in our walk with Christ, is because we're not accountable to one another. We're just not accountable to one another. Christ was accountable to his disciples. You're thinking, well, Jesus was accountable. Yes, because he had a standard, and obviously he fulfilled that standard. He walked the walk, and he talked the talk. I mean, how would it be when Jesus was crucified and all of his disciples were martyred for him? There's something about Jesus that there was proof in the pudding, and they wanted to follow him. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I always say, you know, we can go to God ourselves. And those, you know, when we were working at that prayer center there, that center, it was great. We had good time. You know, we prayed for people, but everything was scripted. But, you know, those people were really hungry. They were hurting. And my heart just went out to them. And I thought, you know, and I don't have anything against prayer lines. I know ORU has a prayer line. I know Rhema has one. And I know some of those people that they'll reach out once in a while. Hey, you know, they'll call me and ask me, you know, we're just reaching out to pastors. Wonder if you can pray. I'm like, yeah, we'll pray. Yeah, we'll take it. So that is legitimate. But then also, too, you want those group of people that you can confide in. And so many people don't have that. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly and no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield crops. Another fallacy sometimes we have as Christians is we want everything easy. Remember that the easy button, right? What was that, Staples? I don't know who it was. The easy button? I want the easy button. We all want the easy button. Brother Hagin would always tell people to do things, and he'd say, well, is it hard? Is it hard? And again, you know, we see the people, turn to Joshua 1:8. We see people all throughout the body, and we see, and especially in Hebrews chapter 11, which is what we call the hall of faith, the people who were, you know, the Noahs, the all of those people in there, the Abrahams, what they did was they obeyed God. They did things that weren't easy. Many people in churches, it's like, well, if you don't have comfy chairs and air conditioning and you know, this and this and this and all these programs and when it's convenient for me, then I won't show up. Can you imagine telling Abraham that or whatever? Getting to heaven and you're talking to Abraham. Well, I would have went to church more, but it was just, I was tired and, you know. Or Moses, right? Oh, that's incredible. You like the Red Sea and I don't like walking across the parking lot. unfortunately, that's a lot of Christians, right? We're pretty carnal. As the body of Christ, it's sad. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but you'll meditate day and night, that what? You may observe to do according to a portion all that is written. For then your ways will prosper, and then you'll have good success. Oh man, I could meddle here for a while. You know, the Bible also talks about he who doesn't work is worse than an infidel, all of these other things, and the Bible's very specific, and we have people that have, and I've been embarrassed. You know, you just send us this money and you'll be blessed, and I'm you know, that is a scripture, right? Sow and you'll reap. But if that's all we're talking about, then we're off. We can't get all, you know, focused on oh, this is the only thing we're going to do. We're just a one-trick pony. Now, there's some people that are gifted in certain areas and things like that, but when we're looking at these things in the scriptures, and the Bible talks about you may observe according to all that is written, then he'll make your ways prosperous. Then you'll have good success. This is an all-encompassing Bible. There's a lot in here. A lot in here. What's that mean? Well, first of all, we've been talking about weeks and weeks before about being led by the Holy Spirit. That's very important because you know what? God is not always, he's not always going to have you do the exact same thing all the time. I've prayed for people and they've gotten healed, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ada and I were in our kitchen one time. I'm like, let me pray, and nothing was working. And then it was just, well, anointing her with oil. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get the oil out. I don't want to do these things. But you know what? Observe all to do, right? And unfortunately, you know, I am blame past preachers a lot on TV and everything else too. We are sometimes very skewed in the way we teach things. And that's not right. We need to take the whole counsel of the word. Well, let's just say, for example, let's just start here. You know, well, I confess, you know, because confession is very important. We're saved by confession. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit through confession. What's that confession? It just means that we're speaking things out that we believe. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Oh, Romans 10, 17, and then 9 and 10 says that we confess those things and we believe in our heart and then we're saved. So there is very important things about confession, right? I remember, you know, years ago, a guy that we went to church with, he was believing for a Lexus, you know. He was going around, I'm believing for a Lexus. I'm believing God for a Lexus. The Bible, remember, the Bible talks about faith without corresponding action is dead, right? So that means if you're jabbering some things, you better have some action to go with it. Well, back then, the Lexus were like really cool in the 90s. You know, that was like the, you know, the really, you know, for some people, I don't know. But anyway, it was kind of a bigger deal back in the 90s, and he just really wanted it. Well, he didn't have a job, and he had nothing. But man, he's like, praise God, I'm gonna have a Lexus. Well, if I believe him for a Lexus, first of all, I got to get a job, because not only comes with a car, there's maintenance, there's gas, and there's insurance, right? So we got to pay for those things, because if not, it's going to sit in the driveway, and we're not going to be able to use it. So faith without corresponding action is dead. Well, I believe I'm going to be the best employee. Well, see, you don't show up on time. You don't do your work, right? You're lazy. It doesn't matter how much I confess, it's not going to work. The Bible talks about being a good student, being a good steward and a good servant. So we got to take the whole Bible. Well, I tried that word of faith stuff and it doesn't work. Are you kidding me? Really? You tried the whole word of faith. I've had people say that before. Well, that word of faith just stuff doesn't work. Really? So you're saying that just because I've concocted something and I keep saying it over and over again, then it's going to happen? That is unbiblical. It is not, there's nothing, just because you say something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Now, when Jesus says something, stuff does happen. Why? Because he believes what he says. Oh, James 1. I like James tonight. James is a good book tonight. Let's dive into James. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. See, sometimes we're not seeing the results is because we're not working the word. We get hung up. We get our little pet peeves. We get, you know, I would sit there and listen to Brother Hagin sometimes talking about Mark 11, 22 through 23. And then I thought, oh, that's the answer. I just need to meditate on Mark 11, 22. It's great, but it's not the only scripture in there. And so many people thought that Brother Hagin wrote that. He's like, no, I didn't write Mark 11, 22 through 20. I didn't write the 11th chapter of Mark. Why? Because he quotes it all the time. And he's got so much revelation in that. Well, also, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you know, he'd always talk about the three parts of man, the spirit, the soul, and the body. I mean, it's good to camp, and we need to spend time on the word, and we need to read it. But basing everything off of one scripture and ignoring the rest of it, it's not healthy. James chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, that is not very good popular preaching right there, is it? That means when bad stuff comes along, we just need to be all happy about it. What's the big thing now? What's the big positive vibes, or what's that thing out there everybody's saying now? Is it positive vibes? Good vibes, right? That's the big thing, good vibes. Only good vibes. There's some people that I was working with, and they were doing some things, and they were trying to get some things done, and they're like, only positive, only good vibes. Okay, how do I give good vibes other than just, you can do it. You can be strong, little buddy. You can do it. Ridiculous. I don't get it, you know. But this is the whole council. Guess what? We don't talk about in churches and all the people on TV is about how to deal with persecution. Well, we don't deal with persecution because we don't do anything. Right? You got to be out there and have persecution. You know, when things go wrong. Well, we have this false doctrine that if anything goes wrong, it's either God's fault or something happened. You know what? They're just life. Life happens and we're in a hostile environment. And just bad stuff happens. Well, I'm going to pray it away. Okay, well then, Jesus couldn't pray it away. Why do you think you're going to pray it away? Right. See, this is a stupidity that we get into. And we don't work the word, right? You know what? We live long enough, loved ones are going to pass away. They're going to step over with Jesus, right? It's just life. Things are going to happen, okay? We don't. Not a very happy thought. But what it does mean is we're just going to go through things, but God's going to be there with us. Why? Because there's a mean devil and there's junk that goes on. And not everybody is a rah-rah, I love you, and a Jesus lover, if you haven't noticed. If you've been on the internet or watched TV, at all for 5 seconds, you can pretty much figure that out, right? Goes on, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. What? Trying? Oh, I got to work through some stuff? What? I got to work through some things? Did you know Jesus discovered who he was through the scriptures? He had to work through some things. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Here we go. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. I'll just tell you what, I want wisdom more. I notice myself that the more and more and more and more I'm reading, it's like I'm just consuming books left and right. Because you ever find out the more you learn, the more you find out you don't know. And I just finished a book last night and I was like, how come I didn't read this 10 years ago? Right? And last week I read a book and I'm like, oh my goodness. What, you know, I'm on another one now and I'm thinking, where have I been at? So we can sit there and blame everybody else, but we can get into the Word, we can read, we can have knowledge. God's going to give us knowledge and wisdom. See, immaturity says, God, you're just going to drop pennies from heaven and everything's going to be wonderful. And then, but you know, it's like the old saying, I'd rather, instead of having a fish, I'd rather have a fishing pole so I don't have to worry about it. I'd rather have the means to be able to do things and to be productive on my own. Again, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. Here we go, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea tossed with the wind and tossed. For do not let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Here we go, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Ever been around people that they are just so unstable? It's very difficult. I've worked for people before, and I don't work for them very long, but I've worked for people before where it's just like one minute they're happy, next minute. I remember working, and I would ran this laser machine thing and, you know, cut parts out and do things, or all this punch press, and we would make parts years ago, and this guy was schizophrenic. I mean, like one minute he just cussed me out, and then 5-10 minutes later he'd ask me, how's your wife doing? And glad you're at work today. And it's like just unstable all the time. Never could, you know, figure out, are you on your meds today? I mean, what's going on here? Right? And it's hard to have faith and to do things when one minute, yes, now. Again, we're going to have ups and downs in life and, you know, trials and things like that. But if, you know, people are like, well, yeah, I'm all for God. And we had a guy in our church one time years ago. And I mean, he would just, everything, he'd get in front of the church and give this sloppy repentance thing. And I missed it. And I'm so glad to be back. I'm so glad to be back. And then 3 minutes later, he'd be gone. And he'd be gone for 6 months. And then he'd come back and I'm so glad I'm back. I'm so glad I'm back. And praise God, I'm never going to do it again. And then he'd be gone 2 months later. And then he'd come back all the time, you know. And then he'd get up and it's like, hey, here's Lance again. He's going to do it again, right? But he still loved people. But you can't build on things. Nobody in the Bible that, I mean, I'm just glad Jesus wasn't like that, right? Just crack under pressure all the time or... It was interesting. I did read this book, and this kind of goes with it too. But he was talking this guy that this book that I'm reading now, and he said something really good in it. And he was talking about it was about business, and he said, you know, I knew that I had to fire people, and he said because I kept stringing along, I kept stringing along, and then one of my mentors came along and says, why are you confusing yourself? He says, what are you talking about? He goes, you know what to do, but you're just not doing it. You're confusing yourself. Do what you need to do. And I thought, too many people are unstable in this area. I just say this, you're going to be deceived if you know what to do and you don't do it. Jonah. Right? Jonah. Oh, I'm going to hop a ship. God will never know. He'll never find me. Okay, what are we, 3 years old? We're doing the peekaboo thing here. I mean, see, Jonah knew what to do, and that story's perfect example because Jonah knew what to do, and he wouldn't do it. He's a double-minded man, unstable on his ways. He had no success. Everything was just, it was terrible. You know, I like to eat fish, but I don't want to be eaten by fish. And he is ending up in a belly of a whale, and it's a typology of Christ being in hell for 3 days and then being delivered. Everything about Jonah is, there's so many typologies about Christ in there. So how is God going to develop us or deliver us or anything? Because the other person, I think one of the people, of course there's a lot of people in the Bible, but Joseph had the opportunity to become double-minded. Opportunity to become double-minded. I mean, you talk about count it all joy. I remember just reading recently, a couple months ago, I went back in there in Genesis and I was reading through Genesis again. And you remember that part where he's talking to the baker and the butler. And then the butler, you know, he's interpreting their dreams and everything. And one of the things he was talking about, and he says, why the long face? And I'm thinking, you're in prison? And Joseph is asking the butler and the baker, ask him why they have a long face. I'm like, dude, you've been in prison for 2 years. This stinks. The guy had to have joy or something. You know, there's something about Joseph that's very special in the Bible because of, and I'm sure he had bad days, but the Bible really doesn't talk about him, you know, pitching a fit or having double-minded or getting, he'd have favor with all the prison people. I mean, he's, you know, in charge of stuff and he's like, hey, I could just see him sweeping like, hey, it's great. God's good. You're off your meds, aren't you, Joseph? Okay, let's talk to, but the point is that, you know, Joseph had a perfect opportunity to get offended to God and get mad and get angry and life stinks and see, that's where we're going to miss it when we begin to blame God, blame. But we just read there in James that we can counter all joy. Why do we counter all joy when we fall into diverse temptations and we're having challenges? Because the victory's around the corner. See, if you're sad and depressed in the midst of a trial, it's because you think you're going to stay there forever. And that's not true. First of all, you're not believing God that he's going to pull it out. Second of all, anything you're going through is going to be temporary. I look at myself 2-3 years ago and I laugh at some of that stuff. I'm like, I can't believe I was worried about that, right? I can't, you know, or at least concerned about it. Genesis chapter 6, we'll close with this. Maybe. We got some snacks back there in case anybody's having issues tonight. You got having problems with the flesh, then well. Genesis chapter 6. Let's talk about Noah here and we'll close. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I want to stop here for a moment. Noah did not have a Bible. Noah did not have Brother Hagin's teachings. He didn't have Oral Roberts. He didn't have all of these fancy, you know, cool, hip ministers on TV. He didn't have any of that stuff. But let's say he had favor in the eyes of the Lord. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool, huh? And you look at some of these Old Testament folks, and they didn't know anything. So a lot of it's not just, oh, I got to memorize, I'm regurgitating this over and over and over and over again. But what it's saying is in verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah, and Noah was a righteous man. Was Noah saved? No. But he was a righteous man. That means righteous, and I like the way it says here, blameless in what? His generation. So he wouldn't have been righteous today because he needs to be born again. But back in his generation, he was righteous. That means he was in right standing with God. And Noah fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. Kind of like right now, right? That sounds familiar. And God looked on the earth and beheld it was corrupt, for humanity had corrupted its way upon the earth. And then God said to Noah, the end of humanity has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of people, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You should make the ark with compartments and cover it inside and out with pitch. I want to stop there for a moment, okay? As we kind of wrap things up tonight. Noah's faith was exercised through action. How many of you have seen angels slinging hammers lately? Right? I'm just going to pray that's going to happen. I'm just going to pray. First of all, God gave Adam and Eve resources. He gave Noah resources, and he said, you do it. I mean, I'm going to stop here real quick. We, the church, and I'm not blaming us, I'm just saying that the body of Christ in general all over the earth, we have missed the mark, I think, because we have let the world take over everything. And we missed it. And we just thought, now when I was a kid, when I was younger, the whole thing was rapture. And of course, we still need to be thinking about that, right? I mean, I literally thought, I mean, I would walk in sometimes and I'd, you know, walk in our house and say something and nobody answered. I'm like, did I miss the rapture? It was, you know, I mean, that was like 70s and early 80s. I mean, everybody was like, oh, the rapture is going to happen any minute, you know, and it could happen any minute. But that was flavor day. So what happens is I think there's a lot of people who didn't act on things because they thought, oh, we're going to be raptured out of here, right? I mean, God's just going to drop down a sack of cash from heaven and it's all going to be taken care of. Well, we see in the Bible, that's not even scriptural. Now, sometimes he does that. The disciples are out fishing. There's a golden coin in a fish's mouth. Okay, God will do supernatural things. I've had things happen to me supernaturally. But if we're looking at things and looking at, okay, how does God do things? And if we're believing for things, first of all, again, we need to have that he's a good God. Second of all, you know, when bad things happen, we don't blame him. And also, too, we're going to be accountable to people. Also, you know, we're not going to, we just read up there, we're not going to be double-minded, right? Because we're going to confuse, we're going to deceive ourselves when we're double-minded. Ever know those things you just have in life and you know you got to do it, but you don't want to do it? Well, should I really be doing it? Well, should I really be doing it? And a really cool thing that I was watching and I thought, man, that's awesome, and I've been doing it more, is just do it now. Do it now, right? The other day I was out and I like to keep our yard nice. It's driving me up a wall because I got stuff on my workbench, so I'm like, I got to clean that up. And I'm looking at everything, but you know, I was out mowing the other day and I saw these loose boards or these boards and I'm thinking, I got to do it. Because I thought, well, I got this weed eating to do and all this other stuff. And it was like, nope, just do it now. Just do it. Just get it done. Right? Just get it done. Just do it now. But again, we deceive ourselves and we're sitting back, well, I don't know, should I? Should I take this? Should I do this? Should I? You know, when you're entertaining things that are unscriptural, you're in deception, and you know. I mean, we know better, right? So back to Genesis, and it goes, a couple things here. Noah's faith did something. Noah's faith did something. Everybody in the Old Testament didn't sit around that were great. You know, the thing I love about Abraham is it just says that God told him to go to Ur, and then in the next part, next verse, it says, and then Abraham went. These people were righteous because they weren't perfect is because they did something. Now, how many would spend 100 years building a boat? Now that's dedication. And then people walking by laughing, and it never rained. It had never rained but since then. There was red things that they were talking about in science that water would bubble up from underground, you know, and there would be springs from underneath. It never rained. So you're talking about somebody building a boat in the middle of dry land. The guy's spending 100 years of his time. It's ginormous. He's going to put all these animals in there. You got people laughing. Everybody is just absolute complete heathens around you. So you don't have a rah-rah session. You know, there's no focus group. You know, there's no, I need, you know, positive vibes today, everybody. That stuff didn't exist. These people in the Old Testament, there wasn't any positive vibes, right? I need to go to a safe zone. Whatever. There's none of that that existed back then. So again, we see a couple of extremes. There are people, all they want to do is natural things, and they don't want to do spiritual things. They don't want to connect with God. And there's other people, all they want to do is pray about everything, but they don't put elbow grease to it. Noah had a commandment from God. He's not the only one, but he's a good example we can use right now. As we close, Noah had a commandment from God. He had resources available, and he got to work. And sometimes in faith, it's not about a feeling. It's not about an emotion sometimes. It is about doing things. It's all about, you know, I just say this, when you turn your life over to Christianity and become saved, sometimes life is harder because you're going against the grain. You don't have a rah-rah session to do the right thing. Sometimes it's not real popular to do right or say the right things. So, as we close, again, we're talking about working the Word. We're taking the whole Word of God as a counsel. We're not just going to pick out. Now, sometimes the Lord will give you a scripture to stand on, or there'll be things the Holy Spirit will lead you to do. But as a whole, Joshua 1:8, I love that. The book of law shall not depart out of the mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. So we're going to be in the Word. But it says you may observe to do according to all that is written. I remember that little commercial back in the day. It said all. The little kids like, A-L-L. Remember that? It was like a detergent, you know, laundry soap or whatever. And a little guy, A-L-L. And I'm thinking, I don't know what all really, I mean, you know, I know I understand what it means, but I'm thinking, how is that a marketing thing? All, does that mean all your clothes are clean, or it gets it all clean? All. Again, we got so many churches, so many people that want to pick and choose what they want to believe in the Bible. I want to be over spiritual. I'm just going to pray about it. That's a cop out for everything, you know? You say, hey, I need you to do this. Well, I'm going to pray about it. Well, here's a check for $1,000. Do you need to pray about that? Right? You don't need to pray about that. Right. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. That's I believe that's from God, right? And then you're like, hey, we need help scrubbing toilets or stuff. And it's like, I'm not sure that's from God. We'll see. Oh, get a job? I don't know. That seems a little, I'll have to pray about that. Right? Right? Pay my bills? I don't know about that. Take care of your kids. Okay, maybe that's one I might agree with. You know, just pawn them off on somebody else. Or no, I'm kidding. But there are things that we are going to get deceived when we don't take the whole counsel of God and begin to see these things in the Word and say, okay, there's some things I need to do. I need to change. We're all growing into developing. Like the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It just means there's a process that we're all going through. I'm going through a process. You're all going through a process. Everybody's going through a process in our walk with God. And we're going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with Him. One of the most, I look back now and, you know, I think about things like when I was, a teenager. You know, got some teenagers in here, and you get a car, and you think, man, I made it. This is awesome. You know, you ever thought that? I remember I got my first car. I should have drove that thing off a cliff when I had the first chance, but it was horrible. But it was a car, right? And it was just me, and I was like, yes, this is awesome. And I thought I had made it. When I look back and I'm thinking, my capacity was very limited. You know, my vision was just, all I thought about was, you know, I mean, before that, it was like, oh, I got this record. I got this CD. I got this. And then when I got a moped, you know, that was cool. Remember those? Full bore. I'm going like 22 miles an hour. I was like, yeah, baby, look at me. Hey, my hair's blowing. I'm going so fast. It's awesome. It was a bicycle, and then it was a moped, and then it was a car, you know, and it was very limited on my capacity, right? Because I thought that was the ultimate. That was the ultimate. But you know what? God is sitting back as this, you know, this adult with all these things and saying, no, there's so much more, right? Don't limit yourself to a tricycle. Don't limit yourself to a moped. Don't limit yourself to this. Why? Because he loves babies, but we want to grow up, and we want to see the whole counsel of God, right? Because the best thing is you lay hands on somebody and pray for them, and they get healed. And just from my perspective as a pastor, I love helping people. I love praying for people, and I will pray for people anytime. Just don't call me at 3 in the morning, okay? It's an emergency. Go ahead. But I'm just saying, hey, I got this thing, Pastor, and I want to ask you about the Bible. No, let's table that. But so the point is just that, you know, God has so many more things, and what it is just taking the full counsel of God, focusing on the Word, and also working the entire Word, looking at it from a perspective of the entire Word and taking all of God's counsel, and then we'll have good success. Amen. And he wants us to have revelation. He wants us to show things. He wants to reveal some things to us. He wants to expand our thinking in some areas. And I think sometimes we just have our thinking's too small. I know mine has been. It's just too small sometimes. And but we need to expand ourselves. Amen. So that God can do more things through us and we can see better results, not just because of better results, but also connect with him more. And so he can lead us and guide us in truth and also fulfill what God's called us to do. Understand our purpose. And that to me is the ultimate, is understanding your purpose in life and fulfilling it. Father, we just thank you tonight for these precious people, Lord. I just pray that we're going to work the Word moving forward. We're going to look at it in your Word as an entirety. We're not going to just pick and choose what we believe or we're comfortable with, Lord God, but those times that we need to repent to one another. We need to confess our faults, just like James said, one to another, that we need to take the whole counsel, just like Joshua 1:8. When we need to look at James from a new standpoint, we need to analyze how Noah did things, Lord. We can see your Word, and we can see the mistakes of Jonah and other those in the Old Testament in your Word, Lord God, but we can see through those mistakes, and we know that obedience is better than sacrifice, Lord God. And we thank you so much in your name. Amen. 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 Well, happy 4th of July, everybody. Yeah. Yay! Eat lots of good stuff.